afternoon, gardeners. You're listening to Garden Planet with Selena and Karen.
Hello, everybody.
Today we are going to hear about a wonderful world.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Thank you, Louis Armstrong. I think we can create a wonderful world by planting trees.
I see the connection.
So, to plant trees, why do we need to plant trees, Karen?
Well, I'll tell you why, Selena. Do you want to know why?
Yeah.
There's one reason, and I think we can end the show after that.
Okay.
Trees are vital to the survival of humans and other species.
Excellent reason.
Vital meaning necessary, essential.
And
so if we didn't have them,
we would not be able to breathe.
Yeah. So I've got some fun facts here.
Okay.
About why it is. Let's open that topic up a bit more.
Okay.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Unpack it. Right. Well, check number one. Did you know that trees can help climate change?
Yes.
You did?
Of course.
I thought you might.
Yeah. Oh, can I add something to that?
Of course.
Well, the New Zealand government wants to plant 200 million trees for New Zealand to combat climate change.
Okay.
In the next couple of years.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Native
movement.
Ones.
I'm all for that.
Hooray.
But there is a lot of discussion about that, actually. I heard it on the radio the other day, whether you go native or non-native or, yeah, how are we going to do it? I mean, I can't even get my head around that figure, 200 million. What does it look like?
They have started a, what is it, Trees That Count project or initiative to get people planting trees.
Mm.
But the thing is, there is a big, it's a huge job to do. But I don't think it's being paid as well as it could be.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, natives, you've got to plant the right ones. I mean, for instance, you wouldn't want, you know, like your totara. Is that the one with the little spikes?
Yep.
Yeah. Because we lived in the bush once and our driveway was next to a massive totara tree and I was constantly having to fish these spikes out of my car.
Oh, no.
You know, all in the grill all the time. The pain in the neck. Makes a great tea, though. But, you know, like we've got to be careful and smart about how we do it. And you've got to wonder, like, the climate is changing. Can't deny it.
Mm.
So maybe our natives, we need to, because you think our natives came from a time when it was cooler.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the point.
You know what
there.
I mean? Like, and which trees are going to have, like, you know, process the most carbon dioxide, create the least sort of mess? We've got to think it through. We've got to be smart about it.
Okay.
I mean, I'm all for planting stuff, but yeah.
Yeah.
You've got to think forward, gardeners. Like, think about, like, you know, big picture. What's it going to look like in 10 years?
Mm.
That's why Treescape, the company Treescape that goes around, we see the trucks everywhere, is so massive because, especially out where I live in Massey in West Auckland, because so many people, it was a massive urban development, didn't exist once upon a time, Massey.
Mm.
Now it does, and people were planting all these trees willy-nilly around their properties and whatnot. And lo and behold, you know, 20 years later, oh, goodness me, what are you going to do with that? Oh, yeah, there's branches falling off on my fence. And they've got a lot of business out our ways because of that sort of. So, yeah, that's point number one. Me too. I'm terrible at it.
Okay,
but
number
it's
two.
A good topic to diverge on.
Yeah.
Another thing about trees and what they can do, so in terms of, like, practicality, where did I read? This was an interesting one. Something about, I've written it somewhere, but I've lost it. If you plant three trees strategically around your property, this is in more hotter climates, but my goodness, New Zealand can get pretty damn hot in summer.
Mm.
So they reckon, studies have shown that air conditioning, if you plant them strategically, costs are reduced or conserved by up to 50%.
Yep.
Just through having three
I believe that.
Because of the shade they produce and everything. So
it changes the environment and the,
Yeah, so all these things are, sort of coincide with that. Of course, they produce oxygen. You know, can't live without that, as in many other animals. In 1 year, 1 acre of mature trees can provide enough oxygen for 18 people. That's what I... Did you get that sort of figure?
Oh, I wasn't into the whole figures thing.
Oh, you know I love figures. an acre is about like the size of a football field, or about 76% of a football field.
Yeah.
I think when they say that, I think they're meaning soccer, because it's probably globally football. So that's quite 18 people living. So really, we should be 18 people per, like, football field. There's no, are we achieving that? I don't know. It's an interesting, it's very, very thought-provoking. Did you find out anything else?
So you've got two, climate change and
oxygen.
Oxygen.
Yeah. Cooling.
Cooling.
Yeah, they cool the city.
I've got homes for birds.
Oh, yeah, of course. And other animals.
And other animals.
Yeah. In America, they plant a lot of sycamores and oaks because the squirrels and animals, wildlife like that, make that. They call them urban homes for those animals. So it's kind of cool.
Without trees, where are our native birds going to live?
Yeah.
I mean...
Mind you, in saying that, tuis will live anywhere. I know that because we haven't got natives around our back of our property, and they're survivors. They do it. They will adapt. I don't know about the other birds.
They're not exclusive to native trees, but trees in general, I'm just saying.
What else did we discover? You know how I was talking about cooling? Studies have shown that they actually... The listeners are going to get so sick of hearing that today. Studies reveal, interestingly, up to 5 degrees, they can cool like a city.
They're like an air conditioner.
They've found, and they shade homes and streets, they release water, and they break up what they call heat islands.
So I've got shade here too. It's essential. And for our hole in the ozone layer... Protect the soil and...
They block UVB rays up to 50%. So that's pretty good. So pretty essential. I read that in America, because obviously I think the whole world is considering this whole tree movement. I don't think there's any real other way around it, to be honest. But they were saying that... melanomas or skin cancers is the highest cancer killer in America.
Oh, really?
Which surprised me because I didn't think that they had, because I thought their ozone, I don't know.
Oh, interesting.
They don't have a canopy
or enough shade.
Well, I mean, I guess property development comes first. I don't know. I thought that was interesting. I thought it would be maybe other countries that would have a higher... obviously, their food providers, fruit, nuts, berries. Did you know avocados are a fruit?
Yeah.
I always had them in my, like, salads. I always considered them a vegetable.
Oh, no.
But then my son, who's 11, tells me that anything that's got a stone in it or seeds in it is considered...
It's actually a berry.
Was that it? A berry? Okay.
That we think of it as a fruit. Well, I think of it as a fruit.
But then I think pumpkin, that's got heaps of seeds in it. Correct me here.
Oh.
Am I, listeners, send us an email. Can you correct us on this, please? Or inform? All right. What else did you find out?
Free mulch when the leaves fall for the deciduous trees.
Yeah.
That's very good for the forest floor or the soil and in conditions of soil. So you don't need to go chipping up trees. The leaves will drop and just leave them there.
Yeah. And guess what? When mulched, the trees act like a natural sponge, filtering water and thereby recharging groundwater supplies.
Very good.
That was interesting. I didn't realise that it did that too.
Trees are good for, well, when you chop them down, they're good for wood.
Yeah.
So firewood.
Resources.
Building homes. Yeah.
And of course burning.
Yeah. Biochar.
Well, I mean, I've got a wood burner that I'm using every night at the moment. I love it. Nothing like the heat of a fire. Yep. I think, is it convection heat? Oh, my goodness. Is that the word? It's coming. My physics coming back there. Right. So that's always important and has been for a very long time, keeping warm.
Yeah.
If you, yeah, obviously if you cull sensibly and do the right, use the right trees.
Yeah.
Yeah. They also are thought to, well, not thought to, known to prevent water pollution.
Oh, yes. Some certain types of trees.
Well, I've read that they break by breaking the rainfall, they allow the water to flow down the trunk and into the earth, and this prevents stormwater runoff from carrying pollutants to the lakes and oceans.
They will soak up a lot of water.
Quite,
you'd think of the trunks and what a huge pump that is to get water up into the leaves. And then evaporates.
So. And then you think of all the places that are suffering from like major flooding and things like that, and it's often as a result of forests being cut down.
Willows are very good for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else?
What about beauty?
Beauty?
Trees.
Where are you going with that? Oh, like pretty. Being nice to look at.
They're just beautiful.
Well, that's nice. And another fun thing to do with that is they're awesome markers of the season. Is it winter? Is it spring? Look at the trees.
A beautiful landmark.
Yeah.
I mean, One Tree Hill. I mean, when they used to have a tree on it, on the very summit, that was Auckland's symbol.
According to point number 14... trees give identity. Trees as landmarks can give a neighbourhood an identity, according to my findings.
One Tree Hill, Royal Oak.
Encourage unity and civic pride. The guy that chopped down the one tree probably wasn't feeling that way at the time.
But they have planted a few backup ones up there.
Good.
The Totara and I think a few other
types. Nice.
So, but we do have the Pohutukawa as the symbol for our Greater Auckland, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So is that like an actual official Auckland symbol?
Yeah, on the Auckland Council logo.
Oh, I don't really pay attention logos and stuff. I used to
work in libraries, so we had this big competition who could do the logo for Auckland, and the winner was the Hutakawa flower.
So that was actually came about through a library competition.
Just a general.
Oh, general competition.
Yeah.
Interesting. So there you go. They're quite, and of course, trees are healing.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Māori recognise the Totara as one of their sacred trees.
Oh, right.
And of course, Tānehi Mahuta is the kauri tree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very special.
Yeah.
And yes, Pohutukawa is also very special.
Yeah.
Symbolises for us at Christmas time, it's beautiful, Christmas tree. And then the spirits of the departed go off through this Pohutukawa tree up at Cape Reinga when they leave to go to the next world.
Oh, right. Is that like a legend?
Yeah.
So awesome.
There are trees that are very special to us.
I remember seeing just this week an old map drawn out by, I think it was a Maori chief, and it was kind of didn't really look much like the North Island, but you could see like some of the bays and he'd drawn a line that went from the bottom all the way up to the northern areas, saying that was where their spirits departed. They followed along this line and I think ended up. So that kind of ties in with that little theory. And, of course, for thousands of years, tree saps, tree bark and their leaves, and not always all three, sometimes it might be just one or two parts of the tree, have been proven to have valuable medicinal properties. Studies have shown that patients with views of trees out their windows heal faster with less complications.
Yep.
Which I thought was cool. people with ADHD show fewer symptoms when they have access to nature, and having an ADHD child, I can vouch for that.
Mm-hmm.
Or just working with children in general, you get them outside. Sometimes as a teacher, I just like, let's go outside, guys. We need to breathe some fresh air and feel some grass between our toes, you know?
I find that sitting under a very grand old tree is very grounding.
Mm.
It's very relaxing, calms you down. Just, I don't know, it's the energy.
Interesting that you say that, because here's another studies reveal. They reveal that neighbourhoods and homes that are barren have shown to have greater incidence of violence than their greener counterparts. So
yep, I believe that.
It was really interesting findings. I was just like, yeah, I would too, actually. Yeah, it makes sense to me. Trees also save water. Most grass and turf species are thirsty plants. I didn't realise that. I always think, I look at a tree and I think, oh, it's got massive root structure, it's a big plant, you know, but it's actually grasses and turfs that seem to be thirstier. And lawns lose much more water due to evaporation than trees, although this is often due to overwatering.
Oh, okay.
So all those Los Angeles specialist turfs that people overwater. But, yeah, that was interesting. Hmm.
Well, no one goes and waters their tree in the summer, really.
Well, I've had to...
Unless they're little
the
ones.
Yeah. Yeah, only the baby ones.
They'll survive, you know.
And that's why, like, for instance, in Nelson, when they were losing... What tree were they this last summer? I think it was a native. Maybe the Totara? But they were losing a lot of these trees, and they established trees, and that was how they... Was it birch? I can't remember. That's how they knew that it really was quite a major drought, that the established trees were dying.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it is a little bit scary when you hear things like that. Did you know, I thought I'd better mention this, because the economy is such a big deal
mm-hmm.
to most people. Well, I should... anyway... So there are economic advantages of having trees.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fruit harvested from community orchards can be sold, and that can provide an income. And, of course, you've got commercial gardeners as well, but that's what I found on this website. They were more community focused. Small business opportunities in green waste management and landscaping arise within cities where mulching is valued.
Mm-hmm.
So you know how you were talking about... You're mulching before in the season.
Yeah.
Studies show that the more trees and landscaping a business district has, the more business will flow in. That was interesting.
Interesting, yeah. Hmm.
I wonder if that's just cafes and restaurants.
I don't know.
But I know that, like, even for me, but I am a greenie, so it's kind of swayed.
Yeah.
But, like, if there's a tree, I'll always park my car near the tree for some reason.
Oh,
just because I like.
Yeah.
I like. Yeah, I would probably myself be drawn to shops where there's more trees.
Mm.
Because the
shade will stop your car from getting fried up.
Well, that too, but it ends up often with a lot of poop on it. Yeah, because, of course, birds
but
in the...
But also, you know where to find your car if you're parking near the tree. Like,
see?
That's the one near the tree.
That was like the identity thing.
The landmark.
Oh, the tree on the hill.
Yeah.
Right, that's where I am. And the beauty of a well-planted property and its surrounding neighbourhood can raise property values by as much as 15%.
Mm.
I don't think people liked having gardens. I don't know. Maybe they liked the idea.
Well, when my family bought another house, the one reason why I thought this was a good one because of the Pohutukawa tree right in front of it.
Yeah?
And I didn't really care
so
much about the house.
I would think the same. I would probably look at the grounds first and then go. Yeah.
Yeah, plant your trees first and then build your house.
Yeah, build around the trees.
Yeah. Or have
great advice.
A tree house.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why not?
I think we're preaching a bit to the choir here, Karen, because we all love trees because we're gardeners. But
I reckon.
I'm just going to talk about how you go about planting trees and selecting trees, because for someone who maybe hasn't is thinking about planting trees on their property, what do they need to know?
Oh, that's good thinking.
And
practical.
advice? There's so many trees to choose from.
So
how do you
that ties
select?
In perfectly. What have you found?
Okay, so if you have a normal size suburban property, have a look around. So maybe there's no trees on there at the moment, but you've got to kind of think about where am I going to plant it. Mm. And so if you say your house, and you look at the south and the west of your property, is probably the best place to plant a tree rather than the north and the east, because you don't want to block all your morning sun.
Okay.
And then look at the soil conditions and choose the right tree for those conditions. So some like to have well-drained soil, and then some can cope with, you know, wet.
Yeah.
So you've got to have a look at those. And then you've got to think about, well, how big will the tree get when it gets mature?
Yeah.
So a good tip for that is, when you're thinking about it, look in the Palmer's manual of trees, shrubs and climbers, or any garden manual, especially a New Zealand one, it's really good, just to check the height so that you know that you're not going to be planting a one that's way too big for your property. And ideally, maybe 5 or more metres away from any building, so the roots don't get into the foundations.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And the leaves don't fall in the guttering and you get all these problems when you're trying to bring them back.
I'm pretty much just keep it simple.
Yeah.
If I was to ever start afresh and have that choice of how I would have my property.
Yeah.
Hey, you never know.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, just get what you get. I think in general rule of thumb is just never plant too close to your house.
No.
In fact, there was a Maori man I met a few years ago said, never till too close to your house.
Yeah.
Okay. That was his general rule of thumb.
But there's one exception to that rule. Palm trees are quite fine to have near your buildings, like a cabbage tree or a nikau palm, because their roots don't spread out. They go straight down like the cat roots.
Yeah.
So they're quite okay to plant near a building.
Yeah.
And then they'll all provide a bit of shelter and shade and canopy. So that is quite all right. But the bigger ones that spread out, no.
And there are some plants that I would definitely plant like right near my doorway, like to deter pests and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like you've got, I think your tansies. Anyway, we're getting into herbs there. But
if you need a bit of height to your garden and you're not keen on planting a tree, think about having an arch and then a climber to climb over it. So if you, you know, think a tree would be too much trouble. But don't shy away from planting a tree, because trees do make the garden a garden.
I sometimes wonder, you know how back in the... was it the 70s where the government, or might have been before that, said everyone was to have a quarter acre section? That was their dream.
That's an ideal, I wish.
But I sometimes think if that ties in with, you know, then you'll easily be able to plant a couple of trees on that, you know?
Cool. I have some small tree suggestions for a average garden. And we've all been mentioning these on Garden Planet in previous shows, but I'll just... reiterate. So coal fire is a very good tree to have in your garden.
They can get quite big though, can't they?
They can, but they're not hugely massive.
Okay.
So a tree, I'd say an average size tree of up to 7 metres tall, let's say.
Okay.
That would be the tallest that it would grow.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Yeah.
Because trees can, well, the tallest tree can get, the tallest tree, well, in New Zealand, it's the kauris, and they grow up to like 50 metres. So if you think.
Oh, that is quite significant.
You don't
Well, you know that house is saying, you know, I lived in the bush. We had to cut half the, well, not half the roof, that's an exaggeration, but a chunk out of our roof to accommodate a kauri, because it just getting bigger and bigger.
So, okay. So, coal fire, magnolia is a good one. especially your smaller ones, not the big evergreen ones, but the deciduous ones. Feed jowers are very good.
Yes.
They can also be a shrub or a hedge.
Yeah.
A lemon tree, of course, an essential. The one that's a really lovely tree is called the forest pansy or a cercus, and it's a one beautiful small tree that has very heart-shaped red leaves in autumn. It's
oh,
so
lovely.
Stunning. And a very nice tree to have in your garden.
What was it called
Not
again?
Too big. Forest pansy.
Forest pansy.
Or cercus.
And that grows well in New Zealand?
Yeah, it grows a bit better in the cooler climates, but it's a wonderful, amazing tree to have.
Mm.
It's like everyone will see it and go, oh, wow, I want that tree.
Oh, wow.
Japanese maples, they don't get too big in beautiful autumn foliage.
Oh, lovely. Nothing like a nice maple, eh?
And then there's a good old manuka.
Yeah.
Wonderful, you know, easy to grow, and you can easily cut it down and make smoked manuka if it, you know.
Yeah.
So you can
use they can
things.
Get quite, yeah, and they do grow quite easily, so I wouldn't freak out too much.
Very
if you,
tough.
Yeah, yeah. They can get quite tall, but they do go sort of upwards, upright, so rather than out.
And one more, titoki is a very good tree for Auckland.
Okay.
A native one. So I had a list of like 50 trees for Auckland by the tree council that they had put out, and it gave all sorts of...
Is that booklet something that you can find?
Yes, it's quite... It's been published. If you look up the Tree Council, I think they're still going.
Okay.
They'll be able to give you very good advice for planting conditions in Auckland.
All right.
So, yeah, that's for Auckland.
Okay.
Now, if you want to plant a tree, it's very easy to do. Just dig a hole and, you know.
Chuck it in.
But to be a bit more careful, for a young tree, it's good to plant a young tree. Stake it so it won't blow away. But don't leave the stake in there for more than a year, because the tree will need to not rely on the stake. It's just there to, you know, protect it.
But all right.
They don't want to depend on it, so after about a year you can remove it.
Yeah.
Give them a bit of blood and bone, and then essential is to mulch them after you've watered them and planted them.
Okay, awesome.
And fork around them rather than dig a, if you're planting in clay, because it'll aerate the soil so their roots can get out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good tip.
Yeah, make it as easy as possible for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then once they've taken, you know, you pretty much, you can leave them to it.
Yeah. And some good plants to plant around a tree or under it, because they like to have friends.
Mm-hmm.
Often, you know, think, oh, what would grow under a tree that's no light getting in there?
Mm-hmm.
But you can plant ringa-ringa lilies, ground covers the weeds.
Okay.
Clivias are very good under trees. Bulbs are very good.
Oh, yeah. What about hellebores?
Hellebores are very good.
Yeah.
And think about, you know, when your tree gets bigger, you can actually have hanging baskets hanging from your tree.
Oh, wow. And that's getting a bit fancy.
Yeah,
why
I was
not?
Just thinking outside the box.
Yeah, love it. Cool.
You know, and little birds' nests, well, the birds will come and make their nests there. But
yeah,
you know.
Little bird houses and
yeah,
all
little
sorts.
Bird houses.
That reminds me, I think that we should do an episode on hanging baskets.
That's a great idea, Karen. I sense a garden planet hanging baskets episode.
Yeah, I reckon.
Okay. Well, we can't talk any more about trees because we've run out of time.
Oh, dear. So quick.
But we'll be back next week to answer any questions that you have on that.
Okay, guys, don't be shy. Flick us your questions.
Happy gardening.
Happy gardening.
Bye,
see
everyone.
You later.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. That's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page, or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.